Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of SideQuest. SideQuest. My name is Joey, and I am your GM, as always, and I am joined by three of the PCs. First up, we have Dan. Dan, how are you?
Doing pretty good. You know, it's been a while since we recorded an episode. I forgot how to do this.
You're not supposed to date the episode, you know that, right? Like, to everybody listening to the back of these, which is most people that will eventually listen to this, they don't know that we missed, like, 2 weeks.
Well, cat's out of the bag.
Next up, we have Richie. Richie, how are you?
Doing good, bro. How about you?
Ah, man, I can't complain. What's happening today, Richie?
Nothing. We're hanging out, about to write a verbal story, and about to do some funny voices.
I like it. That's what I like to hear. Speaking of people with nothing going for them, next up, we have Cruz Turner.
Hey, it's me. What's going on, everybody? Thanks for listening to our little podcast.
Oh, man. How's it going, man?
Oh, other than I got something in both of my eyes, I'm pretty good. Thanks for asking.
I think I'm going to chill on it after this week.
No, man, I love it. It gives me fuel to burn for it's, you know, it's like not hatred per se, but deep loathing, you know?
Wait, for me or for yourself?
Nobody.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, that one actually did kind of hit me, man. My eyes did actually water up.
Oh, man, I wow, can only say was, it because it's not true, so. No,
that was a good one, though. Like, high five. But other than that, I'm doing really well, you know, looking forward to some projects coming up in work. Got to play some card games with my friends last night and eat some delicious Americanized Japanese food.
There you go. That's the spirit. Y'all playing some bridge? Some rummy?
Yeah, that, and then we're just a sucker for goldfish. You know, it actually translates from real life into the game.
One day we're going to have to make that game and patent it, or something, however you do games, I don't know. Last time in the episode, in episode 20, Dr. Cogsbuckle, you, for some reason, let Boulder shoot a camera. That was probably bad.
Yes, I was not anticipating this. It just happened randomly. To be expected of Boulder, though.
And then you got your stomach cut up a little bit, and you went to Uncle Merrill's and didn't really need him, it didn't seem like, but you went there anyway.
Well, I got a new and improved cane, so I'd say it's a win-win, and I gave Boulder an IOU.
So what is the end goal here, Doc? Where are you going now?
Well, the goal is to go find Terrence.
So, you know, I noticed last time in the episode, maybe we'll talk to Boulder next. Boulder, last time in the episode, when Ratboy asked you how you were going to get Terrence back, you just said you would doze it.
That's the plans.
So are there any steps, or is it just kind of a point A to point B thing?
You know, with our little trios, we like to improvise. You know, we're like a little improvisational troops.
Din, Nelson gave you a lot to think about last time.
Yeah, it definitely sit with me, that's for sure.
You think Boulder is the weak link in this chain?
I don't know what to think. I mean, Boulder holds his own, so, like, I don't really want to say he's the weak link. But, man, sometimes, like, you know, I didn't want to overhear the other stuff when you were talking to Boulder. But, I mean, shooting the camera probably wasn't the best idea. But, hey, you know, we're here now. We're making it work, you know?
Yeah, I think that's all you can do. Well, guys, let's see how it filters out. Let's get into the episode.
The heavy silence hanging over the back room of Uncle Merrill's tattoo parlor and oyster house is abruptly shattered by three loud bangs from the far wall. Isaac lets out an annoyed sigh and glances to the wall before looking to Boulder, who is standing stone still with a blank expression on his face.
Well, hold that thought, Boulder.
Isaac brushes past Boulder and sticks his head out of the opening created by the retractable wall.
I'll be right there, Uncle. Boulder's just trying to figure out what color grenade launcher he wants.
Isaac's yell is returned by a muffled expletive that he doesn't wait to hear. He darts back into the room and stops in front of Boulder.
All right, one more time, big guy. We need you back.
Isaac steels himself and lets out a sigh before trying again.
The night is long, with many hidden dangers.
But the morning is just a dawn away.
Boulder, you're standing in the back room. And Isaac says this phrase to you, and all of a sudden your vision kind of goes white and then clears again. And then suddenly you remember the response and you repeat it back to him. And Isaac looks at you and then kind of lets out a sigh. And then he says, "Oh, thank God, Boulder. I guess it's not Boulder. LaGrange, how have you been?"
Well, Bart, what's the situation?
LaGrange, you've been out of it for, it's probably been 5 years now.
5 years?
Yeah, I mean, everybody kind of took off on their own when you, I mean, after you were supposed to turn in Din, what happened?
Well, that's not what's important. Where's V?
I mean, she went back to the monolith with you.
We went to the monolith?
Yeah, you kind of blew up half of it.
What half of it did we blow up?
The executive floors, LaGrange. It's not good.
Where's Meredith?
I haven't really gotten that far, to be honest with you.
Is V still with us, or is she working against us now?
I she's gone radio silent, boss. I don't really know. Here, come back here, and he takes you back to a wall on the back side of the back room, the already hidden room, and he presses a few places on the indentations of the wall, and then it swings back and away, and then a few monitors drop down and kind of spring to life. And he says, "Boss, you gotta look at this. This is not good. First off, it seems like Marigold, they kidnapped something from the sewers, and I'm not really sure what it is, but it's something that goes on at the school, and I know it doesn't help much right now, but they're gonna, you know Marigold, boss, they're gonna turn it into a weapon."
Wait, we're still at the school? Is Dr. Cogsbuckle still alive?
Yeah, he's out in the other room right now. Din's out there, too.
I figured he would have got... Din's not in prison?
No, boss, you broke him out. Well, Boulder broke him out.
All right, what kind of weapon are we looking at?
Well, I think it's kind of what Chester was continuing, boss. You know, his relationship with Marigold and the cross projects that they've been working on, I don't know. It's some kind of automaton, if I had to guess, boss. But combined with this thing, it's not going to be good. He shows you on the screen. You can see pictures of satellite imagery of caravan of trucks that seems to have been leaving Dr. Cogsbuckle's school for enlightened children and moving through the Warrens towards the harbor. And then you can see that same caravan as the screens continue to show the motion of them. They stop at a building inside of the harbor.
Do I recognize, or does LaGrange recognize the building?
He does. You recognize it as one of the black buildings for Marigold.
We're going to have to go take that out.
Boss, what do you mean go take it out? There's no taking it out.
Well, if we blew up the executive floors of the Haywest monolith, I'm pretty sure we can get in there.
Yeah, I think that might have been V, boss. I think she finally took Chester out.
If that's the case, then I'm sure she'll help us again.
I mean, if we can find her, boss, I've tried.
In V's case, we know good and well she'll find us first.
Yeah, she's watching, I'm sure. I just... Boss, you did a bad thing, and it's gonna make it worse. You blew up a news crew's camera. They got your face, boss. They know you're alive. I mean, I know they're watching the feeds on the wire. If I saw it, they did.
They thought I've been dead this whole time.
Yeah, boss. For 5 years, they thought you'd been dead.
Just another hoop we have to jump through, I guess.
You know they're gonna send the B-team after you, boss. It's not good.
Well, they called them the B-team for a reason.
Yeah, I got it, but I don't know how stable you actually are, boss.
LaGrange is going to look down at what he's wearing and what he has hanging off of him, and he's going to go,
"Well, looks like the boulder still loves his grenade launchers."
Yeah, speaking of, and Bartholomew goes over and opens a bag against the wall, and he pulls out a grenade launcher. It's black cylinder grenade launcher with gold accents, and he hands it over to you. He says, "One of Boulder's last requests, boss."
I'm going to take it in my hands.
Wow, Isaac, this is beautiful.
LaGrange, you okay?
Who's LaGrange's?
Isaac,
why do you sound different?
No, I just had something in my throat, Boulder. Sorry about that.
I got you, Isaac.
He kind of walks around you so you are facing away from the screens protruding from the wall. And he says, hey, Boulder, I heard Uncle and those guys calling for you. You might want to head back out there.
Okay.
Okay. Be careful.
Thanks, Isaacs.
Yep, be careful.
Oh, the armor's...
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's out in the hall. I'll walk with you. And you guys head out of the room. Dr. Cogsbuckle, Uncle Merrill is having a heated conversation with you, telling you continually that he was right about you teaming up with the Rune Wars. And he says, listen, Doc, I just don't understand what you think is going to happen here. I mean, you realize, and he sweeps a hand at the screens littering the walls of Uncle Merrill's tattoo parlor and oyster house, you realize that your school is done, right? I mean, this is very clear.
Yes, well, for the time being, of course.
I mean, I appreciate the optimism, Doc, but, I mean, you see all those news crews in the HPF combing it right now?
Well, I built it once, Merle. I can build it again.
I mean, not if you're dead, Doc. You, whether you did it or not, it doesn't matter. They think you killed the head of ZSG.
Well, we'll prove them wrong. You know, I live my life by the prophecy that Ritna gave me.
Which is?
I will die when I finished what I set out to do. That's what she said.
That's not how I remember you telling it to me,
this
Doc.
Is
I remember
the prophecy, man.
I believe it was something about you dying in vain.
Well, the vein hasn't happened yet, whatever that means. Do I seem like a man that is in vain?
You seem like a man, Doc, and that's as far as I'll take that sentence. It's about this time that Boulder and Isaac come out of the back room, Boulder carrying a couple of the to-go bags stuffed end-to-end with armor plating and a grenade launcher. Isaac looks over at you guys and says, "All right, guys, we got you loaded up. Good luck."
Thank you, Isaac. We much appreciate this. All right, boys, I guess it's time to go find Terrence.
Hey, Doc, real quick.
Yes?
Where'd you send the students? I'm just curious. They're obviously not at school. Where'd you send them?
Well, Rat Boy has a place that he took them to.
Okay. I mean, I won't press it, but they're safe, right?
Yes, they are safe.
Okay. Good. All right. And he glances over at Boulder one more time, and before Uncle Merrill turns to you guys and says, hey, listen, what are we thinking about the whole face-changing thing? I mean, I just need to let my guy know one way or the other.
I look around at Din and Boulder.
Boulder's playing with his grenade launcher.
Yeah, I guess that's the move, right?
I mean, it seems like the only reasonable way to do this. We're pretty much... I guess that's really our only option, unfortunately. I hate to change this beautiful face of mine, but I think it's the best thing for everyone.
Uncle Merrill looks over and says, "All right, no problem. Look, I'll write down his info. Just, you know, go here and just tell him that Uncle Merrill sent you and he should let you in." But and he writes down some directions on a slip of paper and hands it over to the doc. And he says, "You know, tell him that I'm gonna pay him for it. And look, guys, this is kind of the last thing I can give you. With the heat that you got on you, I really would appreciate you not coming back here until you drop it."
Well, that's fair enough.
Can I read a Sitch's Boulder?
Yeah.
That is going to be a 9.
Are you wanting to find out about Uncle Merrill or Isaac specifically?
Nope. I'm wanting to see if Boulder remembers about the eyeball.
Oh, okay. So here's your questions. Where's my best escape route way in way past? Which enemy is most vulnerable to me? What enemy is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? What's the enemy's true position or who's in control here? You can ask one.
All right. I think, what should I be on the lookout for?
Boulder, it's about this time that you look over, you look up from your grenade launcher as Uncle Merrill and the doc are having this conversation about getting new faces and all this other stuff. And you look up from your grenade launcher and notice something a little bit odd as you look over at Dr. Cogsbuckle. You notice in the way that the light is catching his eyes, one of them looks normal, but on the other one, you could see a reflection that really kind of shouldn't be there. Almost like the light is refracted odd as it goes through it, and it suddenly springs into your mind. Doc's eye is recording everything, and has been the whole time.
Hey, Docs, can you do me a favor? And on the other end of the bars, last week I left something over there when me and Dins were here. Could you go over there? It should be a small little package.
Yes, I'll be right back.
I grabbed in by the shirt and drag him over to the bar in front of Uncle Merrill. Dins, we forgot about the freaking eye. Uncle Merrill, he has an eye. Somebody put in his head that records and hears everything he hears.
What do you mean they know that? Like, they know that I'm running guns
yes.
here?
Yes, that's officially what just happened.
You mean that they just saw literally everything
yes.
that y'all are planning? And
100%. Yes, we are, how we say, screw in the pooch.
Uncle Merrill begins to reach under the bar and pulls out several guns and starts stuffing them into a duffel bag that he pulls out. And he looks over at Isaac and he says, "Isaac, time to go."
And then Boulder's going to drag Din with him, and he's going to look back and go, "Remembers, if we dies, don't be a fair weather friend of Lost Cats who's with all the children's."
Isaac looks back at you and kind of furrows his brow a little bit. He says, "No, I got you, Boulder. It's fine."
And we meet back up with the doc, who does not find the package, I'm sure.
He doesn't. So he's searching for the package at the end of the bar, and you can hear a tremendous amount of noise in the background as Merrill is just throwing everything he can into this duffel bag, and Isaac is stuffing a duffel bag, and then you head over to the doc.
I forgot, Doc. I left the package back at the schools. It's fine. It's not that important, but we should get going.
So you tell the doc this, and just as you do, you hear the front door ding open, and only to see Uncle Merrill and Isaac duffel bags over their shoulder, respectively, heading out into the front. It's probably about 4 a.m. now. You're probably about an hour away from sunrise. And they head out into the front, Isaac holding the door open for the three of you.
Dins, you go ahead and goes outside. Doc, stay behind me just in case, and don't look around me.
Yes, of course, Boulder.
Dr. Cogsbuckle, have you put two and two together that your eye's recording everything now?
Well, in my head, I was questioning why they were in such a hurry. Then I said, then I thought to myself, oh, this makes complete sense now.
So you guys head out, and the doc trailing Boulder, Isaac closes the door and then starts to lock it up and then kind of like looks around exasperated, pulls the key back out before he locks it and puts it in his pocket. And then you look down the walk, and there's kind of like a half circle of pavement that comes up, and there's parking spaces. And Uncle Merrill is standing at the very edge of the street where there is a sign with like a spinning oyster. You can see a pearl in the middle of it. He flips open the top of the pearl, and you can see a shiny red button.
Uh-oh.
He says, all right, boys, you really need to move away from the building.
Dim moves.
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the cat that's crossing the street.
So you look over at the cat that's crossing the street as you kind of keep a hand on Boulder to guide you over. Do you guys go to the edge of the property?
Oh, yeah.
As you do and you clear that edge, he presses down on the button and you hear several pops muted at first, and then you hear louder and louder pops as you see jets of smoke kind of like puff out around the edges of the building before it starts to collapse in on itself. Then it starts, you see a fire kind of start in the middle and begin to burn outwards through the rubble. Uncle Merrill sighs and says, well, that kind of sucks, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. But I guess we could talk about it later. And he thumbs over at the doc.
Din's going to nod at him.
And so he begins to head off. And Isaac turns back to you guys and says, all right, guys, you be safe. We'll, we'll catch up later.
Sounds good, Isaac. Thank you.
Then well, I'm going to walk over to Din's car and I'm going to, like, open the door and then throw the doc in.
Nice.
Jeez.
Ah, Boulder, why do you have to be so rough?
I was just worried about the debris.
Yeah, it was a muted implosion. There's no debris, Doc. You know that. Oh, there is a nice burning fire in the middle of the former establishment now.
Thank you, Boulder. I throw him a sly wink.
There's some reading materials in the bags if you want to read while we're going to places we need to go.
Okay, perfect. Do you have
awkward?
Do you have any of the issues of Cog Weekly in there?
Yes, checks the side pockets where the shampoo and the soap bars are.
Why do you keep it in that pocket?
Toiletries.
Why do you guys not appreciate my reading material?
Docs, do you not understand that I have every Cogs Weeklies that you've released back at the house? I read Boulder's Corner.
Cogsbuckle's Corner is already a thing.
No, Rihanna, I read Boulder's Rollouts, my Ooh. Own personal columns about the improvements to Grenade.
Hold on, it's not actually in Cogsbuckle's Corner. It's not in the Cog Weekly, but he writes it on top of the Cog Weekly.
Are you talking about this black marker that's been written over my page about dress attire?
Yeah, Docs. It's that I've sent in its letters to the editors.
We're driving, by the way. I want to make this very canon. Like, we've left, like, the second he started reading this.
So as you guys head down the street and begin to drive through the back streets of the Warrens, where are you headed, Din?
Without telling them, Din's going to stop about two blocks away and kind of park down, like, a side street and open the door. I gotta make a stop real quick. Y'all sit here and chill, and he's gonna look at Boulder and kind of like motion to his eye and be like, and just make sure that you know, don't get stolen or anything, right, guys? And Din's gonna turn on the AC and lock the doors and turn the radio on.
I'm sorry, but Lola doesn't have AC in canon.
Oh, that's right, I did say that, didn't I? I'm a liar. My own car. So Din's gonna reach underneath his driver's seat. He's gonna grab a piece of like wadded up cruddy looking Cogsbuckle Corner. And he's gonna like fold it over the cracked window that says, yeah, they're listening to their favorite music and the windows are cracked. Please don't break in.
Amazing.
So after that, Din's gonna walk down the street, and in front of him of where he's walking is the Renoir's restaurant.
So, Din, you walk to the back alley side door of what was formerly Clegg's restaurant. And the door is closed, but it's kind of the side door to the kitchen, right?
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Din's going to hit the knock on the door to, you know, recognize that I'm involved with the Rimoires, basically.
Yeah, so you do the Rimoires knock on the door. You kind of stand there waiting for a second before it swings open just the slightest. And you see a pair of eyes look out. And then it swings open, and you can see a very large, brooding man, jet black hair, with sunglasses on, even though it is pitch black outside and in the kitchen. And he says, "Mr. Weasel,
what's going on, Bob?
You know, boss, just hanging out. You coming to get some food, or is this business?"
It's a somewhat of a business, but also a visit. It's a good to see you. How's everything going?
You know, the family's doing good. It's more of a It's a hard time of year, but, you know.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm really happy for that, man. And he's going to, like, tap him on the shoulder and walk past him to where Nelson would be sitting.
Yeah, so you greet several more people along the way, and as you go through the kitchen doors that kind of swing open, the sound of music begins to float in and towards you, and you head out into the dining room, much nicer. You notice as you head out to the dining room, where before, when Clegg's was running things, it was like light jazz music. Everybody was really kind of quiet but still having a good time, and it was very formal. Now there's like party-based thumping. Mm-hmm. And like there's a lot of scantily clad people of all types just strewn about the room. Tables are flipped over. It's very much a club atmosphere. And in the backside, in the corner booth, you can see Nelson reclining as the bass kind of like pounds your body. You can see Nelson reclining with two girls on his on either arm, and a couple other more rough people, right, in the Warrens hanging around. Not the distinguished people that were hanging around Clegg's when they were there. Mm. And he sees you, goes, "Hey, Din, what's up, buddy?"
What's up, bro?
Oh, man, you know, and he kind of like shrugs the girls off and stands up and gives you y'all secret special handshake. And he says, "Man, you know, just hanging out. What do you think of the new digs?"
It's definitely a change. Like, wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, man, we're going to trade up from this like stuffy restaurant thing. We're going to go get a club. I'm going to buy one, I think.
That's a great idea, bro. I like it.
Yeah. No, it's good, man. Hey, we got all the paperwork signed. We're official, bro. And he gives you the handshake again.
Heck yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, so, you know, everything's going good. All the operations are running for the most part. Had to make some department head changes, if you will. But other than that, been good.
Man, that's awesome. I'm so happy for you, bro.
Yeah, man. And look, you set up too. I got, you know, anytime you want to go into like one of our banks or whatever, need to take out some money, man, you go do it. We got you covered.
Oh, fantastic. Hey. I really appreciate that, man, but I'd love to hang around like we used to, but I'm kind of on a time crunch and I need to talk to you about something.
Yeah, it's no problem. Where's the doc in Boulder at?
They're waiting in the car.
Oh, okay. They're both out there?
Well, Boulder took a walk because he said he doesn't like sitting in the car very much, so I don't know. I think he walked around the corner somewhere. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention.
Okay, yeah, no worries, man. No worries. And you roll to read a person. That's plus sharp.
That's going to be a 12.
On a 12, so I'm not going to have you ask a question here. You just notice something. Mm-hmm. On a 12, you notice Nelson very subtly flick his eyes over to one of the bigger guys standing in the corner, and then flick his eyes towards him and then towards the door, and you hear the guy kind of head off.
Mm. So, yeah, so Din's just going to kind of like brush that off. So, I don't know if you heard what all's going on with the E Streets and whatnot, but they have a friend of ours, and we need to go get him back.
I heard they kidnapped a kid or something.
That's him. It just really hurts everyone at the school that someone would go and kidnap a child. And
was it one of the students of the school?
Yeah, he's a transfer student.
That's a weird move for the E Street. They don't usually mess with the school, right?
See, that's what I was thinking. I thought they were going to come in and break a bunch of windows like everyone does. But not this time. By the time we came back from doing our other job, they came in and busted up the place, beat up some children. I didn't think that was pretty cool.
They beat up kids?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then they stole one.
Yeah, that's a weird move for the E Street. I don't I don't know. Maybe they're getting a little bit out of control. Maybe I need to go have a conversation with Rick, or, you know, he's new blood too, so maybe we can see eye to eye.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. I mean, normally, like I said, I don't care what the family does. I don't care what all the other gangs really do. But, I mean, the whole, we should keep the kids out of it, in my opinion. But that's just me.
Well, no, you know, we got a code over here at the Renoirs, and we don't mess with women or children. And that's, I mean, I can help you get them back. Like, where do they take them?
See, that's just it. I don't know exactly where, except for... I know it's just the E Street, so I figured I'd get a hold of one of the E Street guys and get a lay of the land of where their hideout is or main head of hideout is. Like I said, I'm kind of at a loss. That's what I'm coming to you for, is where do you think they'd go?
I mean, I mean, if it's just a kid, I suppose they'd take him back to his hideout, but, I mean, doesn't that dude Monkey work for you?
Yeah.
He works in your garage, right?
Yeah, no, he does. Like I said, if you didn't have an idea, of course, I was just gonna, you know, hit him up and go from there. But I was also gonna talk to you about after we get... You know, he's gonna kind of like look down for a minute. The exchange student back. I'm gonna take some time off from Boulder at the dock, and I was wondering if you needed any help more so around here.
His eyes kind of light up a little bit as he kind of sits up in the booth, and he says, "Well, yeah, Din. You know, we always got a place for you here. Like I said, you know, we'd be more than happy for you to help him come oversee operations, and you know, you could even take over the street part of this and the runner part if you want. I mean, I'd be happy for that. It's not really my area. You know, I'm more of a big picture kind of guy."
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like there's just in the recent times there's been a lot of just stuff I don't agree with and a bunch of stuff that's just muddy, and I don't know. I don't need to be a part of it right now, and I want to take a step back to really kind of evaluate. You know, like you said, you know, just evaluate friendships and I don't know, really figure out where everyone's going. And I feel like I need to, you know, be away from all that for now.
Yeah, no, man, I get that completely. And you know, you got to look out for number one and number two. That's how this works. And look, I've heard some rumblings from my sources that Boulder might be the one that called that tip in on you, bro.
Really? On a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you trust these people?
I mean, you know, they're our people. They're part of our crew, man. It's the Renoirs. But yeah, we got some inside people over at the Wire, and that whole anonymous hot tips hotline isn't so anonymous when, you know, you work for us. So,
well, that makes some decisions a lot easier now. Yeah. I'm gonna take off, man, and I guess I'm gonna go check on Monkey and make one more stop, and then I guess I'm East Street bound. As they say, eastbound and down, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. You know, I got you. Hey, before you head out, let me make a quick phone call real quick.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
He kind of like goes around the back of the booth and kind of ducks down behind it. And you hear him dialing on his wad and having a quick hush conversation before hanging up and standing back up. And we'll flip back to Dr. Cogsbuckle and Boulder. Boulder, you're sitting in the front passenger seat of Lola, and Dr. Cogsbuckle's head down, reading some issues, some past issues of the Cog Weekly, when you hear a sound coming from the alleyway. You look up, and the door to the kitchen swings open, and a very big member of the Renoirs steps out in the alleyway, steam pistol in hand.
Boulder's suspicious of all of that, so he's gonna pull out his magnum from his hip, and he's gonna rest it in his lap and watch the guy and see what happens.
So the guy looks up and down the alleyway, and on his second pass he looks down and sees the car sitting there idling at the end of the alley, and he kind of shoulders his coat a little tighter around him and pulls his sunglasses down and puts the steam pistol back behind in his trench coat and begins to walk that way. And he gets about 3/4 of the way down the alley, almost to the front of the car, and sees you sitting in the driver's seat. And as he makes his move to lift out a steam pistol from his jacket, you hear his wad ring.
Mm-hmm.
And he stops and quickly puts the steam pistol back under his trench coat. And he has a quick conversation where he just listens and nods and then gives an affirmative on and then hangs up the wad and just about faces and walks back towards the kitchen.
How far is he from me?
He's about 15 feet from you.
So if I were to get out of the car, I could realistically catch up to him before he gets back to the kitchen, right?
If you ran.
Yeah, I'm going to run up behind him. I'm going to grab him And I'm going to put the magnum to the side of his head.
This is a big dude. He's about as big as you are, so I'm going to need you to roll to go aggro. Roll plus hard.
That's a 13.
Okay, on a 13, on a 10 plus, they're forcing my hand, and they can suck it up and take damage, or they'll cave and do what you want. This dude is not going to cave, unfortunately, not from the get-go. And you turn to put the magnum to the side of his head. As you try to grab his arm to say something to him, he kind of spins out of it and punches you across the face, dealing 2 harm to you, but not before smashing his hand against your mask, and you can hear the bones in his hand crack. What do you do?
I'm going to flip the magnum around in my hand, and I'm going to go,
bad choice.
And then I'm going to hit him in the side of the head with a magnum.
Okay, roll to do single combat. It's plus hard.
Oof, that's a 6.
Oh, a 6 is a miss. As you flip the magnum around to hit him with the butt of it, you swing it down towards his head as he's kind of holding his head, and he ducks under it, and he double leg takes you down to where you fall flat on your back, knocking the wind out of you, dealing a 3 harm to you as he gets on top of you into a full mount and begins trying to rip your mask off. What do you do?
All right, I'm going to pull a pin on one of the grenades on my vest.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to go,
it's either both of us or none of us.
The guy looks down at you and he moves his hand from your mask and kind of like puts a hand on your chest and he pulls a steam pistol out and holds it down over your mask. And he says, I was just trying to go back inside.
Well, I'm just trying to protect my friend.
Yeah, maybe you should worry about protecting yourself. Let's both agree that we didn't see anything and we can call it a draw. How's that sound?
I don't care about living, do you?
Not so much as what I care about what happens if I don't follow a job, but killing you is not on the list right now.
I don't want to kill you, really. I just want to prove myself, because I know good and well Nelson's putting ideas in my friend's head.
Yeah, that's probably true, but that's above my pay grade.
I just need you to confirm or deny some information.
It seems like you're not really in the position to ask for information. I can shoot you, and we can both die. Well, you can pull the pin, and we can both die, or we can stand up and pretend like none of this happened.
Well, I have an idea in my head.
Okay, well, I started a 30-second timer, and I'm pretty bad at counting.
I pulled the pin.
Oh. Okay, you pulled the pin, but I thought, I already thought you pulled the pin, so you're holding down the lever. So you let the spin go, and as it opens up, he clamps a hand around your hand, keeping the lever down, and he puts the barrel of the gun up under your mask, under your chin, and he says, I really wouldn't do that if I were you.
He's gonna go,
look, I must not be on my game today. Let's agree to disagree. Let your hand go. I'll put the pin back in. You go inside. You tell him that you had to tie your shoes and you took a knee in the puddle.
He says, he kind of like clicks the safety back on his gun and puts it back in his jacket and stands up off of you, letting go of your hand. And he says, look, for what it's worth, you know what I came out here for.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor, though?
Yeah. What's that?
All right. I got this guy in the back of my car.
Yeah.
I'm going to go choke him out. I need you to pull his eye out.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like fun. No problem.
Oh, my God. What the... What are we doing? What is this?
You guys stand up.
We're just making friends and ripping eyes out?
There's a mutual respect here.
I'm going to go up to a random person in the street in everyday life and go, look, I got a guy in the back of my car. I'm going to choke him out. Can you rip his eyeball out for me?
Oh, man. So you guys stand up and you put the pin back in your grenade. Y'all shake hands and begin to head towards the car.
Oh, I feel scared.
You should be.
So the doc's not looking up. The doc's not paying attention.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
Here's a question. Is Doc going to recognize LaGrange's voice outside of Boulder?
He wouldn't be able to.
Okay. I'm going to take the mask and I'm going to lift it up. And then I'm going to go, he's probably not going to recognize my voice, but we're going to pretend that I'm one of you.
Yeah, no problem, man. Whatever you say. Look, I'm just here for the eye ripping, so.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be his right eye. I don't know. They say they have an explosive in it, so once you get it out, throw it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty standard stuff. No problem.
All right, so get up to the back door, whip the door open, yank the doc out. And I put him in a chokehold. To knock his ass out. And the last thing he sees is the other henchman.
All right, hold on a second. Roll the sucker, someone. Let's just see it. We got to roll the dice. We can't just say it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
What was it?
Oh, no. I'll let him tell you.
I don't appreciate these rolls right now.
What was it?
A 2.
A 2.
The betrayal.
Oh, no. Oh,
dude, you
no.
couldn't have rolled worse. That's literally right, not one.
So here's the thing. So in my head, of course, you're going to change it. Is I yank him out, but I don't sink the chokehold. I'm just trying to make sure, like, I don't care if the doc sees me. I'm trying to make sure that the eyeball doesn't see me.
Yeah. So obviously that's going to happen. Okay. So you, so you yank him out of the car. As you kind of try to do it in a way that the doc doesn't even get a notice on you as you pull him up. What do you say to him?
I'm going to say, where's the boulder? Because, you know, I don't anticipate that he's going to see me. I think that, you know, I'm going to whip him out in time, so I'm trying to play up.
What you don't anticipate is how quick the doc is with his cane. And he, as you take a step backwards with him pulling him out of the car, his cane comes with him and just whips up from the bottom of the floorboard and into your midsection, doubling you over and dealing two harm to you. And then he looks you full on in the face and says,
Boulder, what are you doing? This is not Debauchery Tuesdays. You interrupted my reading of my success story in episode issue 37.
And as he says this, his air is cut off as you slip a chokehold around him, but not before he gets full view with both eyes of your face and of where you guys are. And he begins to struggle against your choke, but you hear, as you kind of have his neck and head pressed against your shoulder, you can hear a low, slow beeping begin to spin up. That seems to be emanating from somewhere inside of his head.
I go now.
He's not fully unconscious.
Sorry.
Oh my God!
When the man plunges his fingers back behind the orb in Dr. Cogsbuckle's head and rips it out. And throws it up into the air. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you let out an intense scream as this happens before you pass out from shock. And as the eye and accompanying cord sails out up into the air, about three quarters of the way up between the buildings and the alley, a not insignificant explosion rips up. It just rips through the silence in the air. Din, from inside, you hear an explosion rock the alleyway where your car is, and all you do is all you can do is have PTSD flashbacks of Monica getting blown up.
No, what you do is you stare at Nelson.
Not again, damn it!
What do you do?
Din's like in the really face, like stare at Nelson.
Nelson throws up both hands and goes, "Nah, bro, that wasn't me. No, like for real. No, Din, for real this time. That wasn't me this time. Like I told you last time. If the joke's not funny if you do it twice. What was that?" And he kind of signals some guards to head towards the alley.
Oh, and then Din. Okay, so again, here's I guess for Din. Din's gonna remember since Boulder told him about. In the thing that's potentially the eyeball that could explode, right?
Right, right.
So, do I have to roll or can I just remember?
I think you can remember that.
Din's gonna look at Nelson and go, so, remember the people that I'm pretty sure took that student?
You said it was the E Street, yeah. What about
yeah,
him?
They took Doc, I don't know, a week or so back, tortured him, took out his eyeball, and then implanted a fake eyeball with a camera, and Doc mentioned something about if something was wrong or they felt like Doc was messing with their plans, that they'd blow it up. So I'm gonna assume that that's not my friend's head exploding inside my car, because brain matter is not fun to clean up, and I really hope my... Anyway, I'd be prepared for whatever's coming to your club, Nelson.
Who is the E Street working with, Din?
That's what I'm about to go find out. But I'm gonna go, bro, and he's gonna like do the quick handshake real quick and be like, I gotta go see if my car's still outside and if my friend still has a head. So I'll check you later, bro. And he's gonna take off.
Nelson's looking at you in shock and barely registers the handshake as he stands there with his arms still half outstretched as the handshake finishes and a blank stare taking over his face as sirens light up in the background just from real far off from the hub. You head out through the kitchen and into the alleyway where you see a pretty intense amount of smoke to see Boulder standing there by himself with a doc in his arms with blood coming out of the doc's now empty eye socket.
Holy crackers, Boulder, what?
I had to get rid of the eyes, Dins.
Okay, fair. We gonna stifle that bleeding or are we just gonna let him, you know, go?
No, I've got angel kits once we get back in the cars. I just didn't want the bloods on your new floor pans.
All right. Again, I appreciate that, but let's get in the car and I guess doctor him up. We gotta get out of here.
I get in the back seat with the doc.
The doc is, you don't know whether he's unconscious from the choking or from the shock, but he is comatose at the moment as Den slides back into the driver's seat. And the engine roars to life, shaking the walls and windows and everything around you as it pulls out of the alleyway and back onto the one of the streets.
I guess we're going to go to the address that Merle gave us and go talk about some that movie Face Off.
Nice. Okay, I dig it. So as you head back out onto the street, you look down and unfold the directions that Merle gave you, looking at the address, and you realize it is in the Warrens as well, and it's in one of the deeper parts towards where the seawall meets the edge of the city, and it's kind of on the outskirts back there. And as you wind through the streets of the city, you can hear, heading towards the club, an immense amount of sirens that you can only guess are probably NHPF. And maybe also some fire battalion. And you head back through the streets. You get about halfway to the address when you hear a scream kind of crop up from the back seat as the doc regains consciousness and is in just a super amount of pain.
Right about then, I jab the angel kit syringe into his thigh.
And how much does that heal for?
I think we discovered it healed for 3.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you jab the syringe into his thigh as he begins to scream. And Doc, all of a sudden the pain is numbed, but you, your depth perception is all kind of jacked up. And you kind of feel a phantom pain in the empty socket on your right eye, or where your right eye was. What do you do?
I reach my hand in the direction that Boulder is not in. Like, Boulder, what happened?
Docs, I had to get the eyes out of you.
You removed the eye?
Bips, and your lives.
Did they see you remove the eye?
Probably. You hit me with your canes and it hurts.
Well, yes, you yanked me out of the car. I honestly thought you were still in the front seat. I was really, really into my reading. Oh, jeez.
Well, that's a good thing, and I ball up one of the cogs weakly, and I'm going to go, we needs to make sure that the scarring doesn't get too bad, and I look at the socket, and I go, I'm going to have to put this in there, Doc.
Oh, my God.
Please don't.
Please don't. I'm with him. It's not even my character. Please don't.
I put my hand over his mouth.
Oh, no.
And I stuff the paper in his eye socket.
Yeah.
Baldur, can you please be more careful?
And then I take a piece of cloth that, like, from like a ripped up piece of cloth, and I wrap it around it like a makeshift eye patch.
So you wrap it around his head and secure it, and Dr. Cogswinkle passes out again from the pain. Den and you and Boulder drive on. Do you guys say anything to each other?
No.
Just quiet.
I'm going to lean back and I'm going to stab myself in the leg to get rid of the 3 of the 6 damage you did to me. Or sorry, that I did to myself. And then I'm going to go, Dens.
Yeah.
You know Nelson's wants to kill me, right?
Yep.
Okay. He'll tell you anything to make you against me.
I'm aware.
You know I had to get the eyes out of the dock.
Oh, no, no. I'm with you on that, because that... God, that's just the biggest plot hole that storytelling would give us, and that we always forget because we're not good at rolling dice and or storytelling. But anyway, no, I agree with what you've done. I'm 100% behind it. I'm just, you know, just glad you guys are okay. And that, you know, Lola's still around, because I would have been just the peeved if you would have done that in my car and let that happen again.
Yeah.
Boulder, it's about this time that your wad chimes. And you receive a message, and it says unknown at the top of it. And the message reads, as it kind of scrolls across the backlit screen in bright green letters, it says, you've been made.
Well, I look up, and Den looks up in the rearview mirror about the same time. And in a flat voice, he goes, Den, I'm sorry.
For what?
I'm sorry, it's Den.
I mean, you're good. Like I said, you know, Doc's still alive. I think you're good. Car's fine. Now let's go take care of this. Get Terrence and God, we gotta do something about clearing our names. And
Terrence is with Marigold's Den.
One more time, what?
Terrence is with Marigold's.
How do you know that?
I have my sources.
Okay. Right on. Okay. Do you know where they'd be keeping him, or
in the harbors, in one of their black sites?
Okay. Okay.
somehow we got into a lot of places that we shouldn't have dens, but this is going to be even harder.
That's fair. I'm sorry. It's still just the whole, it's like, your people, don't get me wrong. I know you have friends other than us, but like, when do you go see these people?
I hold my wad up and shake it.
Okay. What are these people's names? Just in case I have to, like, you know, ask them myself.
This last message said unknowns.
What's his last name?
Unknowns.
So it's unknown?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And, you know, one time it said it was the Hayward Monolith calling, but I answered it, and then they were asking about my car's extended warranties.
I find that really weird why a building's calling you about your car's extended warranty.
Yeah, I think they learns how to spoof the phone numbers when they're looking for that, but it's really confusing. We need to go visit the man's about the... You made the joke about the Travolta Johns movie with the caged Nicholas.
Yeah, no, we're almost there from what this really tartar sauce stained piece of paper reads.
So as you kind of drive the last few miles, a silence falls over the car. You look down as you hit a stop sign and read the instructions on the page. And as you pull up to the building, it's an old abandoned shack, and there's not really a lot of other buildings around this. And you kind of catch the mist of the city, of where the city butts up to the ocean. You catch the mist that's in the air. It hits your windshield with the doc comatose in the back and Boulder sitting there silently. And you pull up to the building with your car noise shaking everything around it, and cut the engines and cut the lights and open up the door. And you instantly are hit by kind of the sound of the ocean. Which you can't hear from where you are located in the Warrens. Typically, you can see the spray, the kind of hitting up as waves hit the edge of the seawall. You just kind of take a second in, absorbing all the information that has happened over the past few hours, and you sigh to yourself and then take a step a foot out of the car and stand up out of it and look down at the paper. And it says, be sure to knock 3 times, then wait, and then knock again.
Din's not even gonna, because I know just instinctively, Boulder's gonna grab the dock. So he's gonna go and do the knock on the front door.
So you knock on the door, and it's kind of like a piece of plywood that's leaned against the thing, but it seems to have some piece of furniture behind it. And you knock on the door, it kind of, the plywood moves to the side just a little bit, and you can see a pair of eyes peek out, and it says,
that's not the right knock.
Well, wait a minute. Now, hold on. It says 3 times, wait, then do it again.
Yeah, but that's not the right knock. You didn't do it right.
How did I do it right? You do it back to me, and then I'll do it to you.
He does the knock, and you can hear the timing's just a little bit different.
And then, so he's going to try to replicate it.
Yeah, but see, now that I've shown you, now it's changed a little bit, so now you got to try again.
So, now you... And then he's just gonna do like a random like assortment of knocks.
It's silent for a moment before the piece of plywood is shuffled out of the way and says, "Oh, you got it right. Welcome."
Oh, thanks, man. You got we got an appointment for 3 from Merle.
He is kind of staring at the wall beside you and he says, "Oh yeah, come on in." He called me and told me you were coming.
And Din's gonna wait for Boulder and Doc to go in, and then he'll follow behind them.
Boulder, Doc, Boulder, are you carrying the Doc in?
I mean, I'm standing staring at the ocean right now.
Oh, okay. You look back, and deep. Boulder is standing staring out at the ocean. The Doc's still laying in the back seat.
Hey, Boulder, dude, I'm all about it being, you know, lethargic and deep and whatnot, but we are on a small time crunch. Okay, I'll do it myself. And Din's going to walk over to the car and try to help the doc out and shoulder him a bit.
Okay, so you kind of wake the doc up, slapping his face very gently a few times, and he comes back to it and winces in pain as he does, and you help him out of the car and put an arm around him, looking over at Boulder, who's still standing there staring out at what the now first rays of the cresting sun in the dawn. And what do you say?
Are you going to, like, stop inner monologuing with a poem or something with some, like, arms of angels, or are we going to get this done? All right, I'll do it myself. And he's going to walk over and kind of, like, kick the back of his knee. Are you coming or nah, bro?
His leg folds a little bit, and he stumbles a little bit. Boulder, do you say anything to him?
I slowly turn around, and, like, the face is different from what you're used to. Like, of Boulder, and he stares at you, and he goes, sorry, I was just in reverie. Sometimes I think about water cars and, like, you know, imagining, like, traveling on the waters.
Hey, Boulder?
Yeah.
Real quick. Uh-huh. I want you to say this with me because I know you know the word. Uh-huh. Boats. It's a boat you're thinking of, bro.
I didn't know if there were boats in this universe.
You know what? We're gonna leave that. Nobody knows if there's boats in this universe.
Okay.
It's just something Din's making up at this point. You don't know.
What's a boat?
And he's gonna kind of like readjust. It's like, all right. So if you take like a bathtub, right, and you put like one of those motors, and he points to the car, and then you put it in the water. And then you put a bunch of, like, insulation. It's a whole thing, and it floats, right? So you don't sink and drown.
Uh-huh.
And then you could go across the water like you were driving a car.
Hey, you're letting all the wet in. In or out, pick one.
Boulder's going to walk and pick up the dock, like, carry him like a baby with ease and walk him inside.
So you pick up the dock, and you guys head towards the front. And as you go inside to the fairly dim room, I mean, this guy can't see very well anyway, so, you know, no big deal. But as you go inside the fairly dim room, the only thing that is casting light is a screen on the wall, and it is playing The Wire. Your attention is drawn to it as a special news bulletin comes across.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us. I'm Ronald McCarlsbad Jr., and this is a special news alert. 5 more deaths have been confirmed as a result of the heinous domestic terrorist attack that took place late yesterday evening at the Haywood Monolith. We will remind you that ZSG founder and CEO Chester Figaro was confirmed dead from the blast, along with nearly 30 other ZSG executives and supporting staff. Fortunately, there is new information to report on the ongoing situation. 2 more accomplices of Phineas J. Cogsbuckle have been identified by the heroes of the NHPF and ZSEC personnel. The 2 terrorists you see on your screen, one Fifi Werner and Sid Fortnite, posed as loyal ZSG employees for several years, working menial jobs and leading unremarkable lives, all the while waiting for their moment to strike at Mr. Cogsbuckle's direction. Please stay with The Wire for continuing coverage of this ever-evolving situation. This has been Ronald McCarlsbad Jr. Good day, New Haven.
And you see the pictures of Fifi and Sid go up, along with the pictures of Din and Dr. Cogsbuckle, and you see a video play of the 2 of them being led out in chains by the NHPF.
So you don't think she's going to call me?
And that's where we'll end it for this week. Thank you for joining us for another episode of SideQuest. I had fun with this one, guys. A lot of interesting things happened. So I guess maybe we should start off with LaGrange. How you doing, bud? Good to talk to you. First time, long time.
Been asleep for a few years.
Yeah, it seems like it. Well, welcome to the podcast. Nice to talk to you. You're more of a quick decision maker than maybe Boulder is.
Yeah, you kind of have to when you kind of lead a task force. Team, you know, you think about like special operation black ops. That's what we did, but we did it for ZSG Unlimited.
Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense. Well, hey, yeah, great to have you on the podcast. I don't know how everybody else is going to react to you, but great to have you.
Yeah, I've been here for a while. They just don't know it.
Doc, how's that eye feeling?
Insert blood curdling scream here.
Yeah, go ahead, give me a scream. Peeked out on the mic. Yeah, about that good. That's what I thought. Din, so you're going to have a new life with Nelson?
Yeah, it's almost like I'm going to lead a team of like black op operations and, you know, but not really. No, I'm just, you know, I'm going to step back and work on old Din.
Tired of all
really
the intrigue.
Reflected.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just really, really lock in what I'm trying to do in life and who I'm trying to be around and what my profession's going to be.
Yeah, makes sense.
He's going to change his name to Brian Earl Spellner.
It's true. It's a good one. I like that one.
That is good. So,
I'm sorry, real quick. Who said that? Because you were talking to somebody new in the other room I've never heard before.
It was a random fan.
Yeah, no, it's just a real big fan of the podcast.
Oh, got it.
Yeah,
okay.
So maybe make a cameo at some point. We'll see.
Righteous.
So you Din, I like that. The whole eye thing was a little bit. Boulder's acting weird, yeah?
Dude, Boulder's been acting weird for like weeks now. I don't get it. It really, really just I want to say it sucks, but like he's still doing his job well. But at the same time, it's these guys. I don't understand these decisions.
Yeah, that was a weird decision
it's
with
not
the
Boulder.
Eye.
Yeah, that's
usually he has more regard for how Doc feels than that.
I know, right? That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I don't think it's going to get any better from here. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. But like always, we want to thank you again for joining us for SideQuest. I do want to thank our three great PCs. Thank you to the three of you. Before we say goodbye to everybody, why doesn't somebody say something about the socials and where you can find us and our new release schedule? And I'll cover release schedule real quick. So we're going to be releasing episodes every Monday now as opposed to every Friday. So you'll be hearing this one on a Monday, and then going forward, we'll be releasing on Mondays. Who wants to do socials? Richie.
All right, so we have Facebook, which, okay, so you know how I don't really necessarily crap on Facebook, but I always kind of steer away from it and basically go to Twitter. We have a Twitter. But for some reason, every time I log on to Facebook, and it's every single day, I get a notification going, our Cogsbuckle Weekly Facebook gets at least 1 to 2 views a day of new people.
Yeah, we never post anything on there.
We don't. No, we don't post anything, but I'm getting these. Anyway, so yeah, we got the Facebook, the Twitter. Go on Twitter, use hashtag SickPod, that's SIQPOD. And again, like we say every week, you can use it. You can say a name. We can get in touch with you. You can be in an episode. You can, you know, you can, again, be in the story that we or our characters like to call life, as hectic as it is. You can also come to our Discord, where you can basically come listen live to a recording like we're doing right now. Talk, like, depends on how early you get here, of course. Talk before and after the episode with us while we kind of just screw around and, you know, upload stuff to the interwebs. And, God, I mean, we also have Twitch that exists.
We will do that again one day.
And when we remember or have the time to, it's around, like, 8:30, 9 o'clock-ish Central Standard Time kind of thing. That's, I mean, we got a Patreon, so if you want to make that goldfish game from New Haven real, come donate. We can do that for y'all. And that's about it, really.
Yeah, that's about it,
I think.
Well, we want to say a special thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you guys for bearing with us over the past few weeks while I have been in the middle of some very large life changes. And but we're glad to be back on a schedule now. Thanks for sticking with us. We have seen the view counts in the latest episode, which we released after like two weeks late, something like that.
Yeah.
We saw them tick back up to where they are usually at. And we just thank you for sticking with us. We love you guys very, very much. And Dan, Cruz, you want to say anything before I do the affiliates and all that stuff?
Yes.
Was that it?
Yes, thank you for this.
Yes was it.
Just yes.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate the listens. As Joey said, the listens have been ticking up. And even though I didn't speak for about 90% of this episode,
being unconscious and whatnot,
very included. Thank you.
Dan's been doing his school work.
If the SideQuest Twitch doesn't work out, you can find me every Friday playing Candy Crush Saga.
Oh, Cruz, anything from you?
No, I mean, you know, people aren't here to for me to, you know, cry and make them feel better about how much this means to me. So I'll just say thanks, guys, and I'll be crying later.
Well, we want to also thank two companies that allow us to be affiliates for them. First off, we have Buzzsprout, who is our hosting service, actually. It's BUZZSPROUT. Buzzsprout is a fantastic podcast hosting service. They actually are affiliated with a bunch of major podcatchers, and they make it really easy to get your podcast out there, and they also have some great mastering tools and all that kind of stuff. So if you check the link in the episode description, you can get a special deal on your first few months with Buzzsprout. It helps us, it helps them. And speaking of helping us and helping them, we also have Instacart, another great affiliate program that we're a part of. Instacart allows you to get groceries delivered to your door, usually in under an hour from when you order them. Richie, what's your favorite thing to order online?
Food-wise?
Yeah, man.
I mean, I'm recently been getting really hard back into cereal.
Nice. You're really, really getting on the cereal train.
Yeah. Getting back into that again.
I dig it. Cruz, what about you? You said mint chocolate chip ice cream last time.
Honestly, like lately I've been missing Cookie Crisp. So if I can find some Cookie Crisp, bro.
Nice. So maybe you can order that stuff with Instacart. Again, I'm going to exclude Dan from this segment for other reasons that we can't talk about. So you can go to instacart.com. That's instacart.com, or check out their mobile app and you can get some groceries delivered to your door. Again, check the link in the description of this episode and help us out, help them out, help you out. Instacart.com and Buzzsprout, thank you very much for allowing us to be part of y'all's programs. Last but not least, I'm going to thank the three greatest PCs in the entire world. First up, we have Dan. Thank you, Dan.
You're most welcome.
Second up, we have Richie. Thank you so much, Richie.
Yeah, bro, anytime.
And last but certainly least, we have Cruz.
Yay. No problem, buddy. You know, you just call me and I'll be there.
I'll be there for you. All right. Thank you, guys. Everybody say bye-bye. Let's get out of here.
Bye, everyone. Keep you safe.
Bye.
Goodbye. Let's get out of here. You know, I had a dream. I broke my phone and I cried.